that all of you are here. I know started a lesson this morning and trying to look at the word of the Lord in conjunction to the belief that in fact we are part of the true vine, and hopefully we must learn how to stay part of that true vine. Because the Lord was very specific, I know, in the Old Testament, and he was able to say in Jeremiah, that Jeremiah, the second chapter, that I had indeed, I had indeed, let me read it off of this other one, planted a noble vine. And that vine was not in Jeremiah 2:21, that first slide. There it goes. Now it switched over to me. Good, thank you. I had indeed planted a noble vine, holy, a right seed, completely. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? And then, of course, looking at John, the 15th chapter. And I know we could spend weeks, hours, tearing all of this apart and looking at it from what the Lord Jesus himself, and when John chose to put this, was right at the end of his ministry. He is talking to his disciples, 16, 17 is going to be praying, and you know, a lot of things that Jesus did were so intentional with, you know, trying to teach a lesson. Just even into the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And I know we don't, you know, we talk about in John the 17th chapter that prayer the Lord prayed where he said, "Not my will but thine be done." And I realize all of that was a lesson for us to learn how to survive when we're going through something, how to survive when we're faced with a difficult thing. Because, you know, when you think he was God manifest in the flesh, he was praying to himself, what was all of this? Well, he knew he still had that humanity that needed to totally submit to the will of God. And so when you recognize how he was doing all of that for us to have a lesson, wow, if Jesus prayed, guess who ought to pray all the time? If he prayed, I need to pray. You know, if he quoted the word, I need to quote the word. If he did some of these things. And so when you realize that this was at the end when he says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman." And then he goes on down to talk about you have to stay connected to the body, connected, let the word cleanse you, let the presence and power of God cleanse you. And then you jump down to the sixth verse here. Let me see. There it was that he said, "Abide in me." If you don't abide in me, if you don't stay connected, then you're not really going to bear fruit, and you won't be my disciple. And then he says, I didn't really spend a long time talking about fruit, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of being a soul winner. It's the fruit of, you know, when somebody shakes me, what do they get out of it? Does anything fall that's good? Or do I let them have it? You know, when they shake my tree, wow, I hope some good apples fall off or something, that somebody would say, wow, he doesn't respond the way everybody else does, because there's fruit up there. You understand? And so when you realize that importance that he was saying about abiding, and then he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you, and keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I write unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." He said, the reason I'm telling you all of this is so that you will remain joyful. You're fixing to go through it. It's going to be hard to stay connected. It's going to be hard to be a true vine. But you need to remain joyful. Well, I'm overwhelmed. And I talked to you about how Simon Peter's response to the temptations of allowing his own flesh to rise up, and how he could have immediately tried to justify himself. That's what I try to do. Well, it's not really my fault. He shouldn't have pushed me that far. They shouldn't have done that to me. And Simon, though, just wept bitterly. And then I read the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That was in Romans, the 14th chapter. I did not read Romans, the 15th chapter, where the word of the Lord simply says it like this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Why do I need to let the Holy Ghost flow through me? Why do I need to talk in tongues? Why do I need to get into the presence of God? Why do I need to abide in me and him in me and me in him? And why do I need all of that? Because without that, I don't have a lot of hope in this world. And I'm just being honest. And I mentioned this morning about, you know, if you're hoping in Democrats, if you're hoping in Republicans, if you're hoping in, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I meant to make an announcement, and I'll make it now just on a thing, because I was thinking that we had a lady staying in our missions house. She came here not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, a single young lady, and she is going into a little country, big country that is in the Middle East, and I'm not going to announce where. They are very protective of that, nor her name. They don't want all of that, but going in there and with the understanding that she's going to try to teach Bible studies and work with some people from the Philippines, because it's against the law to convert Muslims. And there's, she left 25 magnets, and they're on the baskets that go up to the sound room. If anybody wants to take a magnet and put it on their refrigerator, and if they, and pray, God be with such, why? We're sending people behind in treacherous, dangerous, but you know what? Why go there? You're a single young lady, you know, you're not going to find, if you thought you were going there to go for a dating app, that's out of the question. But you know what? I have the God of hope is going to somehow, maybe I can win somebody, I can be a light. What a thing! We can stay here and pray for them. This is a country that, I'll just say this much, where she's going is a country that recently rattled their sabers at Israel, and yet going in and going to go there to somehow try to help win the lost. And so he says that you can abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Psalms, the 16th chapter. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is... Well, this is bad, that's bad, this is wrong. Doctor came out. You know what your response needs to be? Plug into the vine. Get attached to the vine. Let the vine start giving you something. Why? Because you're part of a true vine. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures. Not pleasures that are temporary. Oh, I know. It's fun to go to Disney. It's fun to ride a roller coaster. It's fun to get a new iPad or a new iPhone. Those things don't last, folks. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a privilege. Why would he say that? Because we're connected to the vine. Simon Peter wrote this. This man that repented, this man that wept bitterly, this man that was used on the day of Pentecost, this man that did the unthinkable in saying he denied the Lord, who could have easily gotten offended and bowed his back and said, you know, that they didn't do, and Lord knew he embarrassed me in front of everybody else, all my people, and he embarrassed me and said, I'm going to deny him. How dare he talk to me that way? Simon could have walked out of there so mad at Jesus,
right,
never turned around. Here he wrote the book, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found, what might you be doing? Found unto praise and honor and glory, where? At the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing that receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. If you don't have anything else to rejoice for, rejoice. One day I'm planning on taking a trip in the good old gospel ship and leave this world far behind. I'm going to walk on a street of gold. Everything's going to be all right. Say, but he goes on in his first book in the fourth chapter, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which was to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of the glory of God and rest on them, on you, that on his part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? And I put here the older brother, Luke 15, and I don't want to, we're here, all of us, you know that story. But you know, you remember the older brother's response when he came in and they were having a party. He said, Dad, you've never had a party for me. Can you believe he was worried about a little party that they had with the brother? Dad, you've never had a party for me. You have parties for other people and you don't have one for me. Remember that? I'm depressed. You don't treat me the way you treat them. You know what the father said to him? Son, your brother was dead. Now he's alive.
Right.
You've been with me all the time. You could have had as much fun. We would have partied all the time. We'd have partied every night if you wanted. Party. That's what's so powerful about the presence of the Lord. You can get as much of this as you want.
Yes. Yes.
You can have as much fun. You can be as close as you want. You can say, well, I don't feel like I'm as close as that. Get close. The Lord says,
yes,
it's here.
Yes.
What do you think? He's going to stop. You know, oh, well, I don't really want a relationship with you. And many are called and few are chosen. You know why? Because they don't respond to the call. It's not because he doesn't want them to be close. It's not because he doesn't want them to rejoice, to stay connected to the vine. Well, I don't understand. I thought I was your best buddy. I thought I'm, you know, best friends forever, BFF, whatever, however they say it now. Anyway, John, back to John. I know my time. John, the 15th chapter, 12th verse. This is my commandment, that you do what?
Love
one another as what? That means that you love them when they're unlovable.
Right.
Ooh, I don't like that. If you be nice to me, I can maybe be nice, but do not cross me. Because that ain't right. Wait a minute. He said, love them like I loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Wow, what a commandment for friends. Henceforth, what does it mean to be a friend? You know, I know we used to sing a song, I am a friend of God, I am a chum of God, God and I are buddies. That's an awesome song, but the real truth of the song is that if you are a friend of God, what does that mean? That you know what God's doing.
That's right.
You know what he's up to. When you see signs, when you hear about earthquakes and tornadoes and floods, and when you see things happen, and you're not like, oh, wow, I had no idea. No, I know. Because I know what the Lord's fixing to do. I know what's coming up. And he said, I didn't call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. I've called you friends, for all the things I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now you say, well, I don't want to just be a friend. I want to be the bride. And I want to be the bride. But I want to tell you, the best marriages are those whenever you can also be friends. You can't be friends with your spouse, right? Who is the one you're supposed to talk to the most? Who is the one you're supposed to communicate with the most? So he says here, you have not chosen me. Wow. And I have often, I will confess, I've found myself saying, I don't understand, Lord, why you're requiring this of me and you're not requiring this of him or her or that, huh? Why do you make me do this? Why do you make me have this kind of relationship and you don't? I'm glad he called me and chose me, aren't you? I'm glad he said, I want to have that kind of relationship with you. He says, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. He goes on down in this 15th chapter in the 12th verse, and he says, and ordained you, in verse 16, ordained you that you should go forth. What did I ordain you to do? Bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And that, again, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Not only does he want a bride, but he wants a bride that will be his friend. And how are we showing that we are a friend of God? By how we love one another. You can't love people here. How can you say, I love God, when he gave himself to try to save humanity? Well, that's not my problem. God will have to go out and get them. We know what's going on in the world. Signs of the times. The plan of God. We're his friends. You say, well, Pastor, I feel so out of the loop. I feel like nobody tells me anything. Well, the Lord wants to tell you everything. But you got to talk to him. When's the last time you called him up? I'll tell you, our family is, sometimes they're in 100 different places, and we try to, okay, update, here's what I know, update, here's what I know. Why? Because some are in South Carolina, some are in Florida, some are wherever. How are you going to stay connected? Wow, we are so blessed that we have a phone, a cell phone, that we can stay connected. Guess what? You can stay connected without a cell phone. You don't have to have signal. You can kneel down and say, Lord, I want you to know, I don't know what you're doing, but I still believe that you are going to do this. All things are going to work out. It's going to be all right. I have faith in you, Lord. The Lord can tell you exactly what's going on. The 18th verse. If the world hates you, guess what? Know that it hated me before it hated you. So some of these people that don't like you probably wouldn't be in love with Jesus.
Think about it.
Yeah. Huh? Right. Say, well, I want them to be my friend, and I want the Lord to be my friend. How does that work? How do you keep that friend and another friend? You know, I used the illustration several weeks ago about how do you keep a relationship with the first abusive husband or something and then maintain a relationship with a new husband. And then all that, whoa, it's too complicated. What are you saying? I'm saying you got to say, I used to follow the prince and power of the air, but now I've got a new husband.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so he goes on and he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world and I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So if some people don't like you, it's not a bad thing.
Amen.
I'm not saying you should be mean, haughty,
right,
nasty. But, you know, there have been people that I have dealt with that just do not like me. Believe it or not, I know. And I'm such a lovable guy. But you know what? He said, you can't change everybody. Don't fall into that trap of I want to please everybody. Make sure you're first pleasing whom? The Lord. He goes, remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. I know we could go on and look at more of John, the 15th chapter, but I just want to show you what was he talking about in this verse was separated living. And I know I could spend, it's after six already. I could spend all night. And I know I'm talking to the choir. I know people are here on Wednesday, on Sunday night, and you understand it. But the Lord wants us to be separate from the world. That's why he said the world will hate you. They won't like you. And there's supposed to be a division line. You can say, well, Pastor, you know, we used to just say, okay, well, it's how you dress or how you look. But it should be a division line in your attitude, in the way you live and how you talk. It should be a division line, not just in a few external things. It ought to be across the board that the enemy ought to be able to say, I don't like you. And you know what? You ought to be okay with that because I know they didn't like the Lord either. And there are people that are just that diabolical. John wrote about it in his book, 1 John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world does what? Passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Third chapter, he said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Don't be as surprised if they don't like you. Joshua 24th chapter, and I know I've got this slide one more and I'm done, so thank you for bearing with me. Joshua the 24th chapter. You remember he led the children of Israel across into the promised land, across the Jordan River, and he lived his life, and there were supposed to get rid of all the gods of the land, the Canaanites, and you know, the world has a lot of gods. And And he reached the end of his time. And he was an old man and was about to die. And he brought all the children of Israel together and he gave them these words. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it be evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day." You know what? This is how it boils down to. You have a choice to make. You have a choice. You have a choice whether or not you want to come to church. You have a choice whether you'll read. You have a choice whether you'll pray. You have a choice. You get to choose you this day. I know when you're young, you know, your parents can make you read and your parents can have Bible study and your parents can make you, and you know, you can sit there and go, "Oh, yeah, this is ridiculous." But you get to choose. You get to choose. Will this thing be real? Will it, I stay connected to the vine? And I know, I got two adult daughters and married husbands, and I'm thankful for their lives and thankful for my grandchildren. And yet, ultimately, at some point, they've got to make a choice. I can't choose for them. It becomes up to me. That's what Joshua said. And you know how the people responded? "No, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said, "It's going to be a witness what you say here today against you. If you don't, I want you to know you're not just saying it to me, you're saying it to him." And you know how they responded? The people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." And yet that's the same group of people that just a few years later were no longer part of the true vine. And we as Gentiles were grafted in. What a privilege that we've been grafted in. But what a travesty that the Jews and Israel was somehow, they would not embrace a relationship with God from the heart. It was all legalistic. It was all external. It was all duty. It was all, and they have wonderful, wonderful feast. And this week's going to be the celebration of Passover. And the Jews are grieving this week because some of their hostages, because Passover was the exodus from Egypt. And they wanted to have all the hostages home by Passover. It's not going to happen. And yet, we are able to let that blood wash us, to let his mercy flow through us. Last slide. Go ahead and put it up. Here's what Paul said to Colossians. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what should you do? Walk ye in him." And then he says this word, "rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." If there was ever a time for us to get rooted into God like never before, this is the hour if we're going to be part of the true vine. He said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." It's all in him. And all of that can flow through us. So what does that mean? We have power. We have joy. We have things that the world can't understand, that nobody gets. And you may have family members that go, "I don't understand why you go to church. I don't understand why you do that. I don't understand." You know why? Because I'm in him and it feels so good to be in his presence. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.